Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes can be found at www.robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SEL is proud to be sponsored by Mosey Pro and GoToMeeting. Now, on with the show. Hi and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful, wonderful world of photography. Well, it's the 31st of January 2012. It's Tuesday evening, so we're running a little bit late. Normally I record the podcast on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, but just been a little bit too busy at work and at home, so I'm slipping this one in late. And it may be that this one becomes a two-week podcast, in the fact that it was for the week just gone, and next week it's again, so I know I'm going to be pretty busy this Sunday as well. So, before we start on our subject today, which will be thinking a little bit about the division of labour within photography. I don't mean as in Labour and Conservative British politics, I'm thinking about splitting the different jobs up. And also a little bit about developing your photographic impulse. Before we get started, though, we need to pay the piper, so we need to talk about Mosey, one of SCL's most excellent sponsors. So, when it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right, like hiring good people, but one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Earthquakes, floods, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, and other disasters threaten destruction, including the safety of your servers and computers. What would you do if you lost your data due to a disaster? Even a single incident of data loss isn't cheap. It can cost $10,000 or more to recover data from a single laptop or server. And what you have to remember is businesses of all sizes and consumers use Mosey to back up everything from emails, contacts, important documents, family pictures, and music. It's automatic and it works. So, for example, Jim, a real estate pro, chose Mosey Pro because it was the most cost-effective and most reliable backup service. Jim said, "We have complete peace of mind knowing that our data is backed up off-site. I can look my partners in the eye and say, we'll never have an issue with lost data." So if you're not backing up your business data with Mosey Pro, here's a reason you should consider Mosey Pro to back up your business data. Mosey Pro is easy to set up and use. It saves you time and costs up to 80% less than other solutions, giving you peace of mind and eliminating the hassle of backing up your data. If your business is not backed up with Mosey Pro, you really need to think hard about it and make sure his data is backed up. So why not give our friends at Mosey a call? They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now you can save 15% by using a promo code podcast50. All you've got to do if you're in the States is call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776, or visit moseypro.com. That's moseypro.com. Thanks to Mosey Pro for sponsoring SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Now, if you do a Google search for frames from the edge, you might have to put Helmut Newton, H-E-L-M-U-T-N-E-W-T-O-N. But if you do a Google search for frames from the edge, and in fact, if you click on the little video bit on the left-hand column of a Google search, you probably find the whole film on Google Video. Somebody's uploaded it there. Obviously, I'd imagine they... I don't know why it's there, because you don't normally find things like films that often, but the whole film's there, and it's a documentary about the famous fashion photographer from the 60s, 70s and 80s, who unfortunately passed away in 2004. And Howard Newton was really quite controversial at times for the way he depicted women. Do a search for Helmut Newton on Google and click on the images tab, and you'll find out lots of his photographs. Many of them are very iconic, and you'll probably recognise, if not individual photos, his style. And he was very highly respected by the fashion community and people like Dave Bailey and the like, but not by feminists, because he's very much into statuesque sort of German type strong women, and it's a style you don't really see anymore today. But in the UK, if you watch, for example, the Virgin aeroplane ads, not the latest one where they're in the aeroplane, but the one with the air stewardesses walking through the airport, that look of those stewardesses is Helmut Newton, definitely, 100%. You know, and if you look at some of his images, I think it's called Here They Come, one of his, that's basically, they've taken that look and turned it into the Virgin ad, so it's very good. It's a really interesting film, however the copy I was watching had quite a lot of foreign language with no subtitles, but what the film does, Frames from the Edge, it follows Helmut around Los Angeles, Monte Carlo, Paris and Berlin, when he's interviewing lots of potential models, and you see him on photo shoots, and also the director's talking to people like Catherine Deneuve and Charlotte Rampling, who he's done photo shoots with before. And two things really struck me from watching the film: how static lots of the scenes were. When he's setting up the shots, it's very much he'll have the model in front of him, and he's going, right, you know, move your left hand up a bit, turn your head to the left a bit, that's it, almost right, yeah, that's it, click, click, click. You know, there's people aren't moving around very much at all. And Helmut's making all these really small changes, zeroing in on what he wanted. But the second thing that struck me is there's a part of the film when Helmut is talking to his printer, the guy who, I don't know if he develops his photos, but he's in charge of the darkroom where he's printing them. And this guy's a specialist who's been working with Newton for many years. And they have quite a fractious relationship, with Helmut kind of in front of the guy, ripping up the prints he didn't like. And at first you thought, oh, that's a bit nasty. But the reason why he was ripping them up is because he didn't want any of the prints that he didn't want to be out there, to for somebody to find them in a bin and then sell them, because that had happened before. But later on, Helmut kind of recalled how he'd had to speak differently to his printer, and it kind of reminded me as well how Henri Cartier-Bresson, he didn't do his own printing either, and obviously lots of pro photographers send their images out for retouching and printing. And I know this is in kind of direct comparison to Ansel Adams' approach of the photographer having complete mastery of everything. I mean, you know, there's his books, isn't there? The camera, the negative, and the print, and the idea that the photographer could pre-visualize how that final print's going to come out, and then control not only the creative process of capturing the photo, but also the physical and technical aspect of producing that final image and being an expert in all of those stages. But rather, kind of thinking that it's okay if you're actually okay, good at something, but maybe feel uncomfortable or not as good in other areas. So for example, with me, I'm not always that comfortable with post-processing my photographs. I often think I go too far, I put too much contrast in. They normally, when I look back on photographs that I've post-processed a while ago, they all look too dark to me, because at the time I'm going, yeah, add more darkness, add more bright lights, you know. But you know, oh, I want it to look more moody. But then a couple of months later, I think, oh, maybe that wasn't great. And so maybe what I'm thinking about is, it's okay not to enjoy that bit of photography. And maybe it's you enjoy the printing, and maybe it's you enjoy the post-processing side of it more than taking the images. But this kind of division of labour within the art of photography has always existed. And just because you're not quite as good at something and don't enjoy it as well as some of the other parts, doesn't mean you've got to feel bad about it or think you've really got to develop that side. I mean, obviously we want to be better photographers as a whole, but there's nothing wrong with relying or paying third parties to achieve great prints. I mean, if you think about it, when we send our photos off to get printed at labs, often we're relying on them to do the colour correction and proofing and things like that, and that's fine, we don't worry about it, do we? And I'm sure if we could afford it, we'd like to get experts to process our photos too. So, you know, if like me you feel a little bit unsure about post-processing, then, you know, that's okay, because lots of the greats who went before and are still out there now don't particularly like doing it either. Now, our second sponsor for this week's podcast is GoToMeeting. So again, I really thank them for sponsoring SCL. And remember, being able to attach a face to a name is important. It enhances our relationships and the way we do business. But unfortunately, meeting all of your clients and colleagues in person can be impossible. It can be too expensive and you might not have enough time. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces, because it lets you meet face to face from anywhere in the world. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in a group HD high definition video. You can see your attendees eye to eye while collaborating on documents in real time. You'll feel instantly connected even if you're thousands of miles apart. Plus, GoToMeeting is so easy to set up and simple to use. For example, I mean, I've used the before we took on GoToMeeting as a sponsor last year, we all had a go as part of the podcast network doing a HD Faces meeting with the software, and it is absolutely brilliant. The fact that you can not only listen to people as you've always been able to on conference calls, but see them and see their screens as well. So, start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. And everybody out there who listens to STL can try it free for 30 days. So don't wait, go for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com and click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. So go to the URL GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for sponsoring the SEL Photography Podcast. So the last thing I want to talk about tonight, or today, if you're listening during the day, is developing your photographic impulse. The problem is, a lot of the time, amateurs, we're often controlled by fear or inertia when it comes to photography. You know, we might be worried about getting our cameras out to take a photo in certain situations, or we might just be a little lazy and don't have a camera with us, or we can't be bothered to take the shot because we don't trust our initial gut feeling. So here's my top 10 tips for developing your photographic impulse to get you shooting more and taking more photographs. Number one, obviously have a camera with you all the time, but why not try and have your main camera? I know personally now, I don't leave the house, going to work for example, without my DSLR in the bag over my shoulder, and that way I can shoot before work, I can shoot at lunchtime, I can shoot on the way home. If something really exciting happens, I can run out and take photographs then as well. We've all got camera phones with us, haven't we? So so that's the bare minimum, I think. And the other camera I have with me at all times as well is my Trip 35 in my hip pocket, my jacket. That's my little film camera, which is always ready to go because it doesn't require any batteries, and that's with me all the time. So if I see a scene I like, I take a picture. Tip two, trust your gut. If you see something that catches your eye and you think, oh, that's interesting, get your camera out and take a shot of it. You know, take that 5 minutes to do it, take that 30 seconds to do it. And that comes on to tip three, work your subject. So once you've thought, you've had that tingle, you think, I like that subject, work it. You know, don't just click and then move on. Look at it and then think of the process we can go through to help us capture great images. So, you know, start off with a wide shot, then get closer, work the angles, do portrait and landscape orientation shots. You know, the beauty of digital is that we can take lots and lots of photographs. I'm not saying just click away on motor drive, because you'll end up spending too much time in front of your computer. But don't be afraid to wander around a subject, because what I tend to find is you don't know what you've got until you get home and look at the photographs or have them developed. And you'll often find that your favourite photos maybe aren't the ones that you thought would be when you took. And tip four, keep looking around for other subjects. You know, don't spend your time chimping, looking at the back of your LCD screen all the time. Do that when you get home. Our memory cards are big enough now where you don't have to worry about deleting things. Another good tip as well, number five, listen to others for advice about where to shoot. So when you're at work, if you're at work, you know, ask your colleagues, you know, say, well, they might say, why have you got a camera with you? Say, oh, you know, I'm going to go out at lunchtime and take some photographs. Any idea, you know, do you know any interesting places? And they might say, oh yeah, you know, just down the road, around the corner, there's a little group of little trees and a nice little fountain. You might find all these places that are really close that you didn't know about that could be quite photogenic indeed. And tip six, when you're out with other people, like your wife or partner, encourage them to look for interesting things and tell you about great things to shoot. I'll just say this quietly now. It's like having a really useful assistant with you. You know, so when you're focused on taking pictures of, say the other day I was out with Suzanne taking pictures of these windsurfers, she pointed out the fact that there were some interesting buildings behind us that I probably wouldn't have thought about, so I turned around and took some shots of those. And again, when they do come up with the ideas, follow them up, because it not only does it encourage them to give you more ideas, but even if you initially found the idea of that subject not that interesting, somebody else did, and by working that subject you may well find you end up with some nice shots. Tip seven, look for great sunlight. So if you're there in the office or in the factory or in the shop, you know, serving away, if you see blue skies outside with white fluffy clouds, chances are that will be a good day for photography. So, you know, grab a lunch to go, grab your camera bag and get out there. Number eight, make a list of local places to shoot. This is one of the things I talked about when I was considering things to do for 2012. One of the things I have now is I have just a big long list of places I want to go. Not specific projects, but you know, I want to go to these places, put myself and my camera, my eyes there, and I'm going to wander around and look for interesting things. Number nine, keep a careful balance of photography and having fun. Don't burn yourself out or sicken your loved ones to it. I've tried to do 365 projects a few times now, but I didn't try this year, because what I find is normally after a month or so I get kind of bored of having to take a photograph every single day that I have to upload and store that way. So for me that doesn't work. For other people it may well work, but when it's, if you do feel it starts becoming a drag, you know, stop doing it. Or another little trick is actually to try something else. So if you're getting tired of dragging your DSLR around all the time, take your compact out, or say, right, I'm just going to go on a photo walk, but I'm only going to use my camera phone, or I'm going to use a film camera, or if you're always using a film camera, I'm going to use a digital camera. Do something like that. But don't burn yourself out. Have that balance. And most importantly, don't sicken your loved ones too as well. There's nothing worse than always being out with your camera with them, and they're like, oh, no, you haven't come out for a walk with me. You've come out because you want to take some photographs. You know, in that case, you know, leave the camera behind or just carry a small one in your pocket. Number 10, the final tip, as I don't want to keep you all hanging on for too long, remember that great photographs are out in the real world, not in front of the computer screen. So I know at this time of year, with the winter, with the cold, you think, oh, I don't really want to go out. But if you have an opportunity, get out there and take some photographs. The more photographs you take, the more keepers you will have, the more shots you'll have for your gallery, the more shots you'll have for your portfolio. So get out there and start shooting. Well, that's enough from me for this week. Thanks for everybody for putting their photos in the Flickr photo group. If you're not there already, go over and join Flickr. Look for the roblandphoto.com group or go from the links on the website. Remember, this month, January and February, we're doing the photo assignment Winter Where We Live, or Where You Live, Where I Live. Anything, just stick it in the thread there. But most of all, I'd like to thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphoto.com. Email me questions, comments, ideas, etc. to scalespeeder@gmail.com. That's scalespeeder@gmail.com. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.